And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up later on the program, Charles Greenfield previews the 8th annual Festival of the Arts Boca. Film critic Dan Hudak previews the 31st Miami International Film Festival. Chef Norman Van Aken whips up a word on food, and our Broward Arts calendar features Jody Horn Leshinsky. The nonprofit Miami Beach Arts Trust was founded in 1999 by the City of Miami Beach to provide awareness of and funding for the arts. It became a standalone organization in 2002. It has a volunteer board of directors that oversee its activities such as presenting workshops, acting as a fiscal agent for smaller nonprofits, and spotlighting individual artists. Its greatest accomplishment, however, is the creation of MiamiArtZine.com, an online publication to better inform and serve South Florida's arts community and arts audiences. With us today to talk about this incredible arts resource is the founder and publisher of MiamiArtZine.com, Mr. Harvey Burstein, and Ms. Michelle Solomon, editor and theater critic. And welcome back to the show, Harvey and Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Great new look to the website. We'll be talking about it in just a minute. But Harvey, take me back. When did you dream up this great idea?
Well, over 8 years ago, we felt there was a need to cover the arts because a lot of newspapers were cutting back. Mm-hmm. And I thought the Miami Beach Arts Trust needed to do something. And so we formed MiamiArtZine.com. It just came together, and we got the right people, and we took off. And here we are with our new website, our mobile website, and we're ecstatic about it.
Michelle, you all seem to cover every artistic genre, which is a feat in itself. Tell me about your staff. You've got 15
on board? We have 15. We have paid writers. We really cover every genre, as you said. We actually even have a humor columnist. Mm. That's one of our signature features, Anna Collins. We have people on staff that are art critics and art experts like Irene Sperber and Heike Dempster. I cover theater, and Roger Martin also covers theater. We have Marge O'Neill Butler that does dance. We have a new recruit that we just got, Hallie Neal, that's doing some of the younger stuff, rock music. She just did a web series. She went on the set on location. And
tell me about your humorist. What's her name?
Anna Collins is our humorist.
She's great. She's great.
And, and she's been with us since the beginning. And she does A View from the Broad. And is wildly, wildly wonderful.
Roger Martin still with you?
Yes, Roger Martin. As I said, he's doing our theater. Mm-hmm. And Roger and I share the duties of theater. I do a lot of the, we're trying to expand. So I've been doing Broward and Palm Beach theater, and he still maintains the Miami theater beat.
I'm glad you mentioned expansion, because early on you all just struggled, obviously, to cover Miami-Dade. It's just so much going on. But now you reach our four-county area.
Mm-hmm, we do.
Wow.
We were a volunteer organization originally. Mm-hmm. Now we actually, through advertising and grants from the county, we're able to pay our writers.
Mm-hmm. So your online look is just gorgeous. And part of that reason is because of your omnipresent photographer, and I should say photographers, but Henry Perez seems to be in five places at once.
He's out there. He's out there representing
What's the
us,
deal with it?
Taking pictures. He knows everybody's name in advance.
He's become the poster child of Miami art scene. I mean, everybody.
We love him.
And I have to say, I'm sorry, I forgot Steve Gladstone, and I
sure.
didn't want to miss that. He's our classical music writer, and absolutely, if you didn't see, and he does jazz, if you didn't see his, he does this Cleveland Orchestra review that's up today, it's absolutely, he's a phenomenal classical. So I'm sorry, I forgot Steve, but I wanted to make sure I got him in, because he's such a contributor.
Many reviewers, does the list ebb and flow, or is everybody totally committed there with you all?
Everybody's committed, and we actually started an internship program. We have an intern, Karina Castrillo is our latest intern, and we're going to be developing an internship to get minority arts writers, since the arts writing is dwindling, and that's part of our mission, is to really develop the voice of the arts community, and not only to develop the voice of the arts community, but to develop arts watchers, young people that will go to all of these things. That's one of Harvey's missions, is to make sure that, you know, we're contributing to the arts, not only in writing and covering it, but building an audience to continue, especially in some of the classical, where some of the audience has dwindled.
Isn't this arts explosion, multi-county arts explosion, exciting?
We have five things on our calendar every night. Sometimes we get to two. It's great, you know, if something starts early and then we can get to something late and then
And Henry gets to five.
Yeah, Henry gets to five. He's our...
That's what I'm saying. He's got a clone somewhere. Yes, I got to tell you that.
And now, if he hears us, hello, Henry.
Take a picture, Henry. Tell us about the new look. It's a wonderful, I think perhaps easier look on your iPhone and your iPad. It's built for those platforms.
They call it user-friendly, easier to navigate. Mm-hmm. It's a better experience.
Describe it for
us. We're hoping, we have the lead stories and interviews, of course, and then you go down and people go to MiamiArtScene.com. That's the best way to look at it. Mm-hmm. But we have the... we have a calendar, a comprehensive calendar of what's happening around town.
That in itself is a double full-time job, I'm sure.
Yes, and actually the arts organizations could post their own calendar items on there and set up an account.
Who do they get in touch with to do that?
You just go right on the site, and we just added a new button called Add Event. You go and you add the event, and we sign you up for an account. You'll go through our webmaster, who'll just send you an email. It's all pretty much... automated and technical, and you have your own account, and you can go in and put your event in, and then it comes to me. I moderate it to make sure everything looks good for you, and then it's posted. The site really, when we changed the site, we really wanted it to be extremely mobile friendly, and that's what it is. I mean, it looks absolutely fabulous on your mobile phone and your iPad, tablets. It's also very nice still looking at it in the old website arena. The photo galleries are, as we talk about Henry, are really one of our signature, people love to see their photos, and the photo galleries look beautiful.
So let me get this correct. If you represent an arts organization, commercial or non-commercial, you can list your events for free without having to buy an ad. How generous, people.
Well, that's what we're all about. We're here to help the arts, you know. I also want to say Claudio Croci, who did our website, who designed it and who hosted it for us, has done an unbelievable job. And he was the person who originally did our original website, our very first website, when it was just kind of, we were very excited about it, but it was very, very plain back then.
MiamiArtZine.com, MiamiArtZine, Z-I-N-E.com. Do we have a phone number people can contact you at, or would you prefer just to go through the website?
You could email me. How's that? Harvey@MiamiArtZine.com, H-A-R-V-E-Y.
You can email me, too.
At Michelle?
Michelle@MiamiArtZine.com. We also want to talk, because we're so 21st century, we have a social media director as well.
So yes, we hired a social media director. Hubert puts everything on Facebook and Twitter, and he gets it all out there. And so we have a great team now. We're really, really excited.
You have to do
excited.
That nowadays.
We have this chemistry that's unbelievable. And we all have our heart to help the arts.
Well, how exciting, because we really need these infrastructure items like that to get the word out. And that's been the big problem, publicity, I think, for small arts groups. They don't have money to advertise and whatever... big newspapers or whatever, but here you're giving them access.
Yes. Well, that's been our focus, to help the small and medium-sized arts organizations, the ones that don't have budgets for marketing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've done, and we've really
helped. Care of it.
We've had writers that have gotten jobs, that have gone out to bigger jobs, photographers, and we've covered artists. We've done profiles they've never been written about. So we really feel that we've been a real asset to the community.
Harvey Burstein, founder and publisher of MiamiArtScene.com, and Michelle Solomon, the website editor and theater critic, my guest today. In our few last seconds here, how do you grow this magnificent resource? What do you want to do in the future?
We're going to keep adding writers. Our writing is exceptional. I have a background in training arts writers. And like I said, we're going to continue to train new writers. And we're also going to start a minority arts intern writers program. So just embellishing everything and just making it accessible to everyone. We want everyone to be able to join the community, Miami Arts Scene community, post things, write to us, and we're here for you.
So you're stretching from Palm Beach all the way down to Monroe County, Key West, and all of that?
But mostly Miami-Dade, but we cover everything, everything that we could, because it's one big community, the four counties.
Now you're also doing a lot of giveaways. I love that. Don't you love that?
We do ticket giveaways on Wednesdays. Everybody loves that.
People sign up for our email blast.
Yes, sign up for our email blast.
Like us on Facebook. Like us on Twitter.
Yes, yeah.
Tell all your friends.
Yes, tell all your friends, and... So we're hoping to, you know, sell more ads, get more readers, and that's how we grow as well.
Good luck to Harvey Burstein, founder and publisher of MiamiArtScene.com, and Michelle Solomon, website editor and theater critic, and everybody concerned at MiamiArtScene.com. One of the finest arts resources we have down here in Southeast Florida. Thanks for joining us, Harvey and Michelle. Good luck once again.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on our program, film critic Dan Hudak previews the 31st Miami International Film Festival. Chef Norman Van Aken stirs up A Word on Food, and our Broward Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. Now, our classical contributor, Charles Greenfield, previews the performance excitement coming to Boca Raton starting March 6th.
While so much of classical music in South Florida generates from big box venues like downtown Miami's Arch Center and the Frank Gehry designed New World Symphony Hall off Miami Beach's Lincoln Road, it is refreshing to look north in March for an exciting 10-day festival of classical music, jazz, pop, dance, and books. Presented by the Schmidt Family Center for the Arts at the Meisner Park Amphitheater and the Cultural Arts Center in Boca Raton, the 8th Annual Festival of the Arts Boca takes place March 6th through the 15th. According to festival chair Charlie Seaman, quote, "This festival has truly evolved into a one-of-a-kind cultural celebration, bringing the best in music, dance, film, and ideas to South Florida." Recently, I spoke to Charlie Seaman about the vibrant roster of musicians, entertainers, and writers for the 8th Annual Festival of the Arts Boca. Charlie Seaman, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
It's my pleasure, Charles.
Tell us a little bit about the genesis and history of Festival of the Arts Boca. You're in your 8th season. How do you explain its popularity in drawing crowds from all over South Florida?
Well, Boca's a unique community, and we wanted to give it something that was a signature event in South Florida. And we looked around the country. We looked at the Aspen Music Festival. We looked at Santa Fe. We looked at Charleston. And it sort of evolved from that, something that we could anchor the cultural arts season around every year and feature our downtown, which is an important part of the community's future.
And the acoustics, of course, I imagine are quite good.
Yes, we've learned how to do it outside under a tent, and we've gotten rave reviews with Renee Fleming from most of the local critics, so we think we have that down.
Let's go right into the exciting schedule, kicking off March 6th with possibly the most endearing name in violin worldwide, Itzhak Perlman. You've described him as a, quote, once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's his third return to the festival, and he performs the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto with festival music director Konstantin Kitsopoulos, who is conducting the festival orchestra Boca.
We're thrilled to have Itzhak back. As you know, in 2009, we celebrated his 50th anniversary of his first performance in the United States. And he likes South Florida. He likes Boca Raton, and it's a great pleasure for us to have him. It's a genuine pleasure. And for the community, it's a wonderful experience.
And the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto is not a complicated piece. It's warm, it's affectionate, and that's what he's best at.
And we think outside in the tent it will be very, very well received.
Now, March 7th is Dance Night with the Bill T. Jones Arnie Zane Dance Company. The program features the company's famed work, D-Man and the Waters, choreographed to Mendelssohn's Octet. More Mendelssohn. What can we expect?
Oh, it's just a fantastic experience. It's creative. It's dynamic. The music is spectacular and will be performed by the Bergonzi String Quartet. It's a night we've been looking forward to having for years, and we haven't been able to work it out until this year, and we're very pleased that we have them.
How big is the company in terms of dancers?
I think there are 11 that are going to perform in that range.
And they will be costumed in a South Florida way, or will it just be anything to expect in terms of the choreography?
We think that they will dress appropriately, but it won't be far from their minimalist leotards that they wear in their dance. They're much more emphasis on a little color and a lot of dramatics.
Very good. And now jazz, which is a major component to the Festival of the Arts Boca, you're bringing on Saturday, March 8th, a huge headliner, Arturo Sandoval, with the UM's Henry Mancini Institute Orchestra. Tell us about the man and the music.
Well, Arturo was once a great South Florida tradition. He's now on the West Coast. We had him a number of times. He performed both as a jazz performer and as a classic soloist. He's a wonderful person with our students that we bring to the festival, and we're very excited to have him in a tribute to Dizzy Gillespie, and we're particularly excited with our new relationship with the Henry Mancini Institute, and Monica Mancini is going to come in honor of Arturo's legendary status and the first performance of the Institute Orchestra here at the festival.
Looks like UM Music School and Festival of the Arts Boca are really beginning to work together nicely.
Our roots working with Shelley Berg, and they were involved and observed our Jazz Roots programs over a couple of years, and it's slowly grown into a relationship that's very exciting for us here in Boca Raton.
On Sunday, March 9th at 7 p.m., Perlman returns to the festival stage with the Florida premiere of Eternal Echoes with cantor and tenor Yitzhak Meyer-Helfgott. It features liturgical and traditional works and new arrangements backed by klezmer musicians and a chamber orchestra. I think Perlman refers to the program as Jewish comfort music.
He does. And while it is also great traditional music and is attractive, I think, to people of all persuasions. It's really an unbelievable performance, and Perlman really gets into it. You know, we've had the Klezmer Conservatory band was here to honor Yitzhak and his anniversary program, and we're very much looking forward to having them come. We've seen the videos of it, and we think it's one of those special experiences that we're very proud to be bringing it to South Florida. And frankly, he's coming here because he's enjoyed the festival previously and thought it would be well received in the community.
Well, now, Constantine is back on March 10th with a very unusual evening with Daniel Levitin called Your Brain on Music. Are we going to get high on music?
Well, we're going to learn about what it means to be high on music. It's really, he's a very clever neuroscientist. He is a musician. He's an author, a professor. He's written a well-known book called Your Brain on Music, and it's really fascinating. I love music, but I know it from what I experience in my heart and my ears, and it's really interesting to hear him talk about how our brains actually deal with music. And, of course, there's all kinds of things that are going on about cognition through the musical senses, so we're very excited to have Daniel here. We're very pleased, and it's being supported by the Boca Raton Regional Hospital, who is this year opening the Marcus Neuroscience Institute, which is a big event for our community. So we try to work with other community organizations in putting on the festival.
Now, there's acrobatics Friday, March 14th with Cirque de la Symphonie. Tell us about these acrobatics.
They're acrobats like Cirque du Soleil, but they perform with really fantastic classical music with an orchestra performing. And when performed, these gymnastic tricks with Rimsky-Korsakov playing in the background is just electric. I've never seen anything like it. They performed all over the country. They performed at the Philadelphia Symphony recently, sold out 4 concerts, and we were very lucky to get them to come, and we're very excited. Last year we had the Peking Acrobats, and we got a tremendous response from young families, and that's a really important group that we're trying to reach to get them involved in the great classical traditions of our culture. And this is another program that we think will do that.
And very briefly to end our conversation, Doris Kearns Goodwin has a group of people coming for your Ideas and Authors. Could you very briefly tell us about that?
Yeah, Barbara Schmidt, author and speaker, is going to talk about Viktor Frankl's Men's Search for Meaning. Anna Deavere Smith, actress, playwright, is going to speak. James Fallows is going to give us a talk about China. Geraldine Brooks, a prize-winning author, will speak on the art of the historical novel. and Doris will talk about her most recent biography of Teddy Roosevelt. And Doris, of course, is our distinguished writer in residence. She spends parts of each winter here in Boca, in downtown Boca. We're really glad to have her be a part of the festival every year, and it's an exciting program she's put together.
Well, Charlie, I want to thank you again for participating on South Florida Arts Beat, and I think that many, many people will be heading up north or even a little south for Festival of the Arts Boca.
Thank you very much, Charles.
The Festival of the Arts Boca 2014 brings great music and exciting new performers to the northern end of South Florida. Now in its eighth year, the ambitious program featuring classical jazz and pop music, dance and orchestras, combined with renowned literary figures, can only grow larger and more popular in the years to come. It certainly belies the notion that the northern end of South Florida remains a cultural backwater. For more information, call 561-368-8445 or 866-571-ARTS. To purchase tickets, visit festivaloftheartsboca.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken cooks up A Word on Food, and Jody Horn-Leschinsky conveys her Broward Arts Calendar. Now, film critic Dan Hudak of HudakOnHollywood.com previews the 31st annual Miami International Film Festival with the festival's executive director, Jay LaPlante.
One of the great things about covering a film festival for consecutive years is the ability to watch it flourish in wonderful and sometimes surprising ways. The Miami International Film Festival's Encuentros program, which roughly translates from Spanish to English as meetings, is designed to facilitate completion of feature films produced partially or entirely by Latin American-based production companies or from United States Hispanic filmmakers who are currently in post-production. Each year, the winning unfinished project receives $35,000 toward its completion. This year, in the 31st edition of the Miami International Film Festival that begins March 7th and ends March 16th, two former Encuentros projects, the Costa Rican film All About the Feathers and the Brazilian picture The Man of the Crowd, are two of the 10 films competing in the night competition category that could potentially earn $40,000 for winning. For these two films, the fruits of promise may soon transform into the dollar signs of success. The rest of the festival lineup showcases 97 feature films and 44 shorts from 39 countries, including 23 world premieres, 4 international premieres, 16 North American premieres, and 9 U.S. premieres. Tonight's opening night film is Elsa and Fred, which stars Shirley MacLaine and Christopher Plummer as polar opposite retirees who find an unexpected connection in New Orleans. This year's career achievement tribute will be given to actor, writer, and director John Turturro, who's appeared in everything from The Big Lebowski to Transformers. The tribute is highlighted by a screening of Turturro's latest directorial effort entitled Fading Gigolo, which stars Woody Allen as an opportune pimp, Turturro as his gigolo, and Sharon Stone and Sofia Vergara as their eager clients. I haven't seen the film, but anyone who writes a role for himself that features hooking up with Sharon Stone and Sofia Vergara is a damn genius in my eyes. Here's a look at the film's trailer.
I have a very funny story to tell you. I was at my dermatologist today. She was with her girlfriend, and they came to the conclusion that they both wanted to have a menage.
This came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. And she asked me, do I know anybody? I said, yeah, but it'll cost you $1,000. I was thinking of you.
Me.
You need the money, and I'm closing shop.
I am not a beautiful man.
Is Mick Jagger a beautiful man? You're an experienced lover. Why shouldn't you get paid for it?
Of course, I saw myself getting a small fee. If you're a pimp, you gotta have a name.
I'll be Dan Bongo.
It's nice to meet you, Dan.
Maybe I should try your guy out first, alone. Just me and him.
You do this often?
No, I mean...
So this is kind of a part-time thing?
You could say that.
Oh, she tipped you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, waitresses pool their tips and they split them.
We got another customer, maybe more.
How?
Yeah, word of mouth.
God bless you, girls.
With MIFF 2014 about to get underway, we sat down with the executive director of the festival, Jay LaPlante, to learn more. Jay, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you, Dan. It's great to be back.
4 years running strong. What have you learned in these 4 years that's going to make this year even better?
Well, I have learned quite a few things in my 4 years, I have to say. But, you know, I think that I've honed my instincts for what our audience really appreciates the most. And I think that you'll see that reflected in this year's lineup. There's a lot of really great marquee names, a lot of accessible films that people will really enjoy and be challenged by.
In addition to the films, which we'll get to later, I mentioned this in my intro, and it bears congratulating you further for. The Encuentros program in the past has rewarded films and given them the finances needed in order to be completed. This year, you have two of those films, which you've previously rewarded in your night competition category. It's just fabulous that the festival is bearing fruit for the festival. So congratulations in that regard. Is this all your brainchild, or how much credit are you willing to take?
Oh, well, thank you. I did not start Encuentros. Encuentros is actually 12 years old. It was started in 2003 by Diana Sanchez and Nicole Guillemet, who was the director at the time. So they had a really brilliant vision for extending the Miami International Film Festival's support of Latin American cinema beyond just the official selection and into development and post-production support. So I believe in that as well. I think it's been a great part of our mission, and I have continued that since I took over 4 years ago. And it's really gratifying to see projects that we've supported get finished and go on to big success, and then also, you know, return home to Miami.
Yeah, it's so wonderful to see that and just continue to come back. Always the stars coming to the festival are a big attraction for Elsa and Fred. I hear we have a star coming to town. Is this true?
We have two stars. We are expecting Shirley MacLaine and Christopher Plummer, the two leads of the film, who are absolutely wonderful in the film. They're both Oscar winners, legends, and we are so excited to see them on the red carpet.
Fabulous. And the good thing is that it's at the Gussman, which seats more than 1,000 people.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. Get your tickets now, folks.
Yeah, if there's any left.
The career achievement going to John Turturro this year, first of all, he's brilliant for a number of reasons, including writing a film for himself in which he can hook up with Sharon Stone and Sofia Vergara. But why the career achievement for him? He's had such a diverse career.
He has. He's known as an actor, of course. He's won the Cannes Best Actor Prize for Barton Fink, of course, and had given many legendary performances for the Coen brothers in particular. But he's also, you know, a filmmaker in his own right with a unique vision. His first feature, Mac, won the Camera d'Or in Cannes the following year after his Barton Fink win. And we've seen his films like Passion be at MIFF in my first year as director. And we just think that, you know, his combination of his filmmaking skills and what he brings as an actor, you know, actors are also authors of films, is really worth of a look this year.
And it's interesting because when you think about it, there truly aren't that many actors who so easily transition from drama to comedy. And on one hand, we have Turturro in, say, Big Daddy with Adam Sandler. And on the other hand, he's off with the Coen brothers doing another drama or in Transformers or in action movies and whatever it is. Really very impressive diversity with Turturro.
Yeah. And I'm really excited because anyone with a ticket to the Career Achievement tribute is going to see our video tribute to his career, which was put together by a local Miami filmmaker named Jokes Yanis, who's a former alumni of Miami. And he did an incredible job stitching together highlights from John's career and showing that range. So it's worth the price of admission alone, I guarantee it.
And speaking of stars, we have Mike Myers in town, but not as an actor, as a director of a documentary. which will take people by surprise, I presume.
Yeah, you know, it's Mike's first time making a film. It's something that he edited in his home, you know, over a course of many months. It's truly a labor of love. It's about Shep Gordon, who was a mentor not only to Mike, but to many other great artists. And, you know, it's a portrait of an incredible man. And it's, you know, someone who shaped careers for Michael Douglas and Willie Nelson, Emeril Lagasse, Alice Cooper, just an incredible diversity. And, you know, it's kind of Mike's love letter to Shep, and it's quite worth seeing.
Very nice. And that's the documentary category. You have all kinds of categories and programs going on. One that stuck out to me as I looked through the program was the Poppy Shorts Competition. And to me, I see Poppy, I think of my father-in-law. I don't necessarily think of a shorts competition. So what is the motivation behind both that name and the programming of the shorts competition?
Well, the shorts competition is something that we've had every year. Poppy is the sponsor, Poppy Underwear. So that was kind of the
that explains it.
That was the fun part, was you know, Poppy shorts and Poppy underwear. So we are really happy to have them on board. It's been really a fun and playful campaign.
And I'm happy to see the Do a Shot Miami workshops are back again this year.
Yeah, Kodak is an amazing partner. They're all very popular. They fill up so fast. And the little short films that get turned in from those experiences are really priceless.
Masterclass seminars are back. Cinema Slam is back. Real Music is back. You're not going quietly into the night at all. You're growing, and it's continuing to get better and better. Anything from those three things stick out to you this year?
Yeah, well, Cinema Slam has taken on an interesting twist this year. We have done a throwdown with Shanghai. So the five Miami film schools are going head-to-head with the six universities, post-secondary institutions in Shanghai that teach film. And the best of the best from each city are going to meet in Miami for the showdown. And the winner of the Miami competition will also go to Shanghai Film Festival in June, which is China's largest film festival.
Wow, nice. Very cool. Let me get you out on this one question. Jay LaPlante, director of the Miami International Film Festival. You must have a long-term vision for the festival in terms of how you see it grow and where you see it going. I presume it was at point A when you started 4 years ago, when it's at point B now. Where do you see it continuing to evolve to point C 4 years from now into the future?
Well, I think I've been really encouraged by the audience response to my particular programming vision. The festival's definitely been growing in the last 4 years. It's, you know, we've had phenomenal pre-sales this year. We think that will continue, and we'll have one of our best years on record this year. So I just want to program for the audience. I think that's what makes any film festival internationally strong is its audience. And that's who we're programming for, and that's how we're going to continue to grow, by providing Miami the films that they want to see. You know, my very basic philosophy in programming any film is all the programmers look at each other and say, is this a film that Miami wants to see? And that's our basic principle behind any film that we invite.
It makes a lot of sense. Jay LaPlante, best of luck this year.
Thank you, Dan.
The 31st Annual Miami International Film Festival will be held March 7th through the 16th at the Gusman Center in downtown Miami, O Cinema in the Design District, Miami Beach Cinematheque and Regal South Beach in Miami Beach, the Coral Gables Art Cinema in the Gables, and Paragon Grove 13 in Coconut Grove. For more information, go to miamifilmfestival.com or call 305-405-6433. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman Emeritus of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at hudakonhollywood.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue right after these messages. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoo-doo-dee-doo-ya-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is tostadas. We drive about 60 miles round trip to get our tortillas these days. I don't wish to think, as an accountant might, how much gas that costs per tortilla. But these tortillas are worth it, partly to see the face of the 70-something woman who sells them to me from her little bodega. She sells lengua and such, too. Her shop is named Moreno's, and I urge you to make the trek. It is down in the bosom of our South Florida's growing region, which encircles the appropriately named village of Homestead. One of the other places we also visit is a Mexican eatery attached to a gas station. It is a cheery, working-class place, loud with both the television booming and cantina music squawking from the open kitchen. I would be back there in that kitchen if I could. I would love to see just how they make their tostadas. They are a perfect textural dance between crispy and slightly pliant, and that is the goal. Texture is often misunderstood in the proper making of food. We do talk about how great it is to eat a satisfyingly crunchy or meltingly tender thing, but the cookbooks and TV chefs need to show how to attain these textures. I'm sure that woman in the kitchen next to the gas station in Homestead could give a master class. The thrifty nature of Mexican cooking is apparent in that tostadas are mostly made from tortillas that have become too stale for soft tacos. True, they would be fine for what are called hard-shelled tacos, but they are also fine for tostadas. When fried just right, that staleness issue is hasta luego, amigos, and the flat, crispy tortilla becomes toasted, whence the name tostada comes from. Before I became a cook, I worked for a short time spraying concrete out of fire hoses in western Kansas. We were building pit silos for cattle feed lots. I was 19, just trying to make enough bucks to hitchhike to the next adventure. I hated the taste of dust in my mouth from the sun-baked earth kicking up around us as we worked. But there was a salvation in that Kansas workplace, too. The majority of the other workers were from Mexico, and in the bars we'd hit after work, they taught me to understand how tortillas are used in various ways. Tostadas are a tad more awkward to eat than a taco, but I deal with the mess. I like that I can see the vibrantly colored food in the way a tostada is open-faced. I love tacos and tostadas both, to be sure. One of each, please. Tortillas are made of carefully selected dried corn and just the right amount of lime, too. A properly made tortilla almost melts in your mouth. We were in Mexico City not long ago and bought 2 bags of hand-padded tortillas from a small Indian woman wearing a stovetop hat and smoking a corn cob pipe. They were heavenly, just plain, out of the paper bag. You see, I'll go a long way for a tortilla. I knew that when I got home, they'd be one day old and perfect for tostadas. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Steakhouse. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And we say hello to Jody Horn-Lashinsky, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division. Good to have you back with us, Jody.
It's so nice to be back, Ed.
I want to hear all about what's going on in Broward County.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you and your listeners that Broward Cultural Division, the Community Partnership for Arts and Culture, and ArtServe announced the return of the very successful Artists as an Entrepreneur Institute for South Florida artists.
Bravo.
And the program will be presented on 4 Saturdays in June, and it will be held at ArtServe, which is in Fort Lauderdale, and artists of all disciplines are encouraged to attend. And what this does is assist these individual artists to cultivate and advance their business skills and to help them strengthen their operating infrastructure and expand their business. And to date, more than 400 South Florida artists have graduated from the Institute, and many have exceptional success stories. The Gold Coast Jazz Society will be accepting applications for the Jeanette M. Russell Jazz Scholarship Program. These scholarships provide high school and college jazz students with financial assistance. Monday, March 3rd is the deadline to submit applications for consideration. You can download the scholarship guidelines and application on the Gold Coast Jazz Society's website. Qualifying students will be invited to participate in a live musical audition for scholarship awards on April 19th at Dillard Center for the Arts in Fort Lauderdale. The Duane Hanson Allied Artist Award Program was established in 1994 to honor internationally renowned artist Duane Hanson, who lived in Broward County and who was instrumental in encouraging the careers of Broward artists. The program is geared to provide local artists the opportunity to assist experienced public artists commissioned by the Broward County Public Art and Design Program and to gain a technical and administrative expertise needed to compete within the field of public art. In Broward, we have three allied artists who are currently working with public artists, and that would be Peter Simon, Stephen Sylvester, and Christian Fennick. So we applaud the three artists.
Yes, indeed.
So there's a lot of events coming up, so let me not hold back. The first comprehensive William Glockens exhibit in 50 years is on display at the Museum of Art, Fort Lauderdale, through June 1st. The Glockens art collection was bequeathed to Nova Southeastern University's Museum of Art in 1991 by Ira Glockens, who is son of William Glockens. And this covers the artist's versatile talent from 1892 through the year of his death, 1938. This encyclopedic collection boasts a wide variety of examples of Glockens' artistry, from casual crayon sketches to a unique hand-carved wood panel, and rare etchings to heartwarming family photographs. The Bonnet House Museum and Gardens hosts the South Florida New Perspectives Art Exhibition through Sunday in the Carl Weinhardt Gallery. The exhibit by Bonnet House fine artists includes fresh interpretations of people, architecture, flora, fauna, and showcases works of various media, including watercolor, oil, and photography. Famed Japanese pop fashion designer Sebastian Masuda will be at Young at Art Museum to present his lecture, Mr. Sebastian Masuda, King of Harajuku, at 2 p.m. on March 1st. Reservations are required for this event. His visit is a prelude to Japan's Kingdom of Characters National Traveling Exhibit that will open at Young at Art in July. There will be activities all day long and themed to Japanese pop culture, including a fashion dress-up, art projects, and a live Raku fire demonstration. Merlin's magical ball is illuminating with a mystical light pointing south to the magical kingdom known as the Florida Renaissance Festival as it emerges for its 22nd year in South Florida at Quiet Waters Park in Deerfield Beach through March 16th. The gates open at 10 a.m. For this year's festival, the Royal Court announces a variety of acts and performers returning to the festival along with new comedy, acrobats, and stunning harmonies, armored combats, wandering period costumed performers, numerous vendors, and vocal delights. Curio Nocturno, a Victorian Gothic masquerade, promises an evening of Gothic elegance and mystery at the Sample McDougall House on Saturday from 7 to 11 p.m. The event hopes to transport you to the atmosphere of New Orleans in the early 1800s with visions of dark alleyways with flickering gas street lanterns, mist rolling in off the Mississippi River, and elegant men and women attending masquerade balls. Watch the 84th Annual Academy Awards on the big screen at Cinema Paradiso Fort Lauderdale, where the International Film Festival rolls out the red carpet on Sunday. Experience all the excitement in high definition and Dolby sound on the bigger-than-life movie screen inside the theater or outside in the courtyard. The doors open at 6 p.m. and the live telecast begins at 8 p.m. Guests can walk the red carpet and get photographed by the paparazzi and compete for Best Dressed Female, Best Dressed Male, or Best Dressed Couple. Coral Springs Center for the Arts welcomes the Harvey Robbins Fabulous 50s on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Doo-wop legends The Marcells will take you back with hits like Blue Moon and Heartaches, while Bill Goodwin's Ink Spots will perform If I Didn't Care and Java Jive. The Platters will sing tunes like Smoke Gets in Your Eyes and The Great Pretender. Symphony of the Arts presents Serenades at Sunset on Sunday with a reception at 5:30 and performances at 6 p.m. at the Hyatt Regency Pier 66. Performing selections from her recording, Passion Latina, Aisha Saeed will perform an evening of exciting rhythms of varied classical, Argentine repertoire, as well as works from her native country of the Dominican Republic. Enjoy your favorite wines and champagnes, accompanied by hors d'oeuvres in a setting of music in the round, surrounded by the magnificent vistas and golden sunsets. If you would like more detailed cultural event information, please visit artscalendar.com, Broward County's complete guide to the arts. Never miss a thing. Get there.
And we thank Jody Horn-Lashinsky, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division, for all of that great information. Enjoy your weekend, Jody.
Thank you. You too.
Let me please add, Miami's Morningside neighborhood is hosting its widely popular Morningside Historic Home Tour in conjunction with Dade Heritage Trust Days on Sunday, March 2nd from 1 to 5 p.m. The neighborhood, which is Miami's first recorded historic district, spans east of Biscayne Boulevard from Northeast 50th Terrace to Northeast 60th Street. Approximately 8 historic homes will be on the tour with trolley shuttles, food, history booths, and more. For more info, go to historic.morningsidehometour.com. And the Whit Seidner tribute with jazz saxophonist Dave Liebman takes place next Friday, March 7th at 8 p.m. at the Gussman Concert Hall on the University of Miami campus. The Frost School of Music Concert Jazz Band, Mark Egan, Danny Gottlieb, Mark Colby, the Miami Saxophone Quartet, Dean Shelleyberg, and the entire jazz faculty of the University of Miami will honor and express their appreciation to Professor Emeritus Whit Seidner for his 40 years as an educator and chair of the Department of Studio Music at the U of M. For tickets and information, 305-284-2400, or go to music.miami.edu. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Dan Hudak, Norman Van Aken, and Jody Horn-Lashinsky. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. We'd like to hear from you, of course. You can fax your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. Monday at this time, we'll feature topical currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. Have yourself a great weekend, and please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.